Good morning, everybody. This is Robert Willamy from Catholic Medical Mission Board. I want to thank everyone for joining this special call today. We are so fortunate to have Dr. Tom Katina with us here at CMMB at our New York headquarters. So we have just started our conference call. I wanted to let everyone know that this is an interactive call, and so we will be taking live questions. If anyone has a question for Dr. Tom, you can press 0 on your phone pad, where you will be prompted to leave your name, your location, and your question, and you will be then added to a queue, and we will be bringing people on live, online live to ask their question for Dr. Tom. So Tom, welcome. A few words about Dr. Tom for those of you who don't know. Dr. Tom is a native of New York. He was born upstate New York. He graduated from Brown University with a degree in engineering. He did not take a job in engineering, however. He went on to study medicine on a Navy scholarship. Shortly after graduating from his medical school, he started to serve as a volunteer in remote areas around the world. He's been serving with CMMB for the last 20 years, first in South America, then 6 years in Kenya, and then for the last 10 years as the medical director of Mother of Mercy Hospital in the Nuba Mountains. So welcome, Dr. Tom.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here. So, yeah, I'm out. I just got back in the U.S. a few days ago. I've been traveling around for the past couple months with the Aurora Humanitarian Initiative. So kind of another hat I'm wearing besides being medical director at Mother of Mercy Hospital. I'm also the chair of the Aurora Humanitarian Initiative, and I took on that role as a way to try to expand humanitarian work in general, and then our work in the Blue Mountains in particular. So I'm just very happy to be here with you today.
And Tom, you'll be returning to the Nuba Mountains shortly, and after your service with the Aurora Prize. Tell us a little bit about how you feel about going back and what you're expecting to see.
Right. So I'm heading back next Sunday, back to Nuba Mountains just after Thanksgiving. And I'm chomping at the bit now to go back. I've been out now for, about 2.5 months. I'm ready to get back and back into the swing of things. Our situation in Sudan is actually somewhat better. There's been a coup last April. Dictator Omar Bashir, who's been in power for 30 years, has now been deposed. There's a ceasefire. But oddly enough, after the ceasefire, things have gotten busier because now people that were formerly living in government-controlled areas are now free to come to the hospital and seek our services. So they've actually gotten busier. We think that's going to continue going like that as long as the ceasefire holds, which we hope it will, hopefully a good standing peace agreement.
Thank you, Tom. At this point, I just want to welcome all of our new callers coming into this conference call. Again, this is an interactive conference call. So if you do have a question for Dr. Tom, if you, again, press 0 on your phone keypad, you will have the opportunity to leave your name, location, and a question for Dr. Tom, and we will work you into a queue of questions. Tom, prior to this, and many of our supporters and some of the PGR champions have sent us some questions, have written in some questions to us that they would like to ask. Many of the questions revolve around how you initially got started as a volunteer, what drove you to become a volunteer, and maybe who are some of the people that really inspired you in those early days to do this missionary work.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the idea that I had was that from the time I was in college, I wanted to be a missionary. This just came about during my university days. The problem was I was studying mechanical engineering, and that wasn't much of a match with missionary work. So after graduating, I decided that I should go into medicine because I thought that would be a better way, better vehicle to do mission work. That was back in 1986. So just through the years, through medical school, time in the Navy, I heard about CMMB along the way, and I contacted them back in the, first time would have been somewhere in the mid to late 90s. And I said, look, at the time I was a resident in family practice, I said, I want to go and do mission work. And do you have any places looking for somebody? And I did a couple of short-term missions, 1988 in Honduras, 1999 in Guyana. And then when I was finishing all my commitments, both in the Navy and residency, I thought I'd like to go full-time and do mission work overseas. And CMAB was there to help me with that. They connected me with a hospital in Kenya called Mutomo Hospital, which is still has a very strong connection with CMAB. They have, I think, volunteers there. Even now, they still have volunteers there at Mutomo. And I've been in Africa ever since. It's been almost maybe 20 years in January. And I think for me, my kind of people I look to for guidance over the years were the 2,000 years history of saints and holy people in the church that have shown us a different way to live. And I think I always look to them for guidance, reading about the saints and their lives, both ones that were there 1,000 years ago and modern-day saints. These are great examples for us of how to live.
Thank you, Tom. Again, I would like to remind the people on the line that if you have a question for Tom, please press 0 on your phone pad, and you will be prompted to leave a question for Tom. Tom, obviously your faith has been instrumental and a key reason that you are doing the work that you're doing. Many of our donors are interested in how you continue to live out your faith. What is the situation of the church in Sudan? How do you get your spiritual motivation while you're serving there? So could you say something about the status of the church, whether you go to Mass, what is the presence of the church in the River Mountains?
Right. So, you know, the church in Africa actually is different than the church, I say, in the Western world. The church in Africa is very strong. It's young. People are very committed to it. It's a very young church. I mean, when you go to Mass on a Sunday, it's full, and it's full of young people, kids and young adults that are there. We are very fortunate in the Mountains that despite our very remote location, we have a full-time priest. He's a South Sudanese man who's every day. We have the opportunity to go to Mass every day. So my wife and I go to daily Mass at 6:30 in the morning. We have one group of sisters there. They're Kamboni sisters. We're having another group of sisters join us at the hospital. The order is called Banya Teresa Sisters, and they're an indigenous Ugandan order. They've all contributed greatly to the work there and to my own faith formation. So I think we're really fortunate there to have such good presence.
Tom, we do have another caller online live, a question regarding lepers and how you work with lepers. So, Gene Abst, are you with us?
Gene Obst.
Gene Obst, yes. Thank you for calling in, Gene. What is your question for Tom?
Tom, I would like to see leprosy eradicated in my lifetime. What are you doing with your work with lepers?
Yeah, so we have, you know, Mutomo Mountains is one of the areas of the world which is endemic for leprosy. I think other areas, I think there's some in Nigeria, and I think Pakistan, India, but we've got quite a bit in our region of Mutomo Mountains. There's a bit left in South Sudan, but our area of Mutomo Mountains is probably one of the highest concentrations. So what we do is we're trying to do a little bit of case finding, so with our outreach team trying to locate people who have leprosy, bring them to the hospital. And we've got a TB leprosy village where we actually admit the patients to our ward. We have a TB leprosy area where we put the patients. And we treat them for the full year. It's a one-year course of treatment. And it's slow. The progress is slow. But I think in the 12 years we've been there, I do think the incidence is going down over time. But we've got to be probably a little more proactive in going out to the regions where they have a lot of leprosy cases, doing case recognition, bringing them back to the hospital. And I think you're probably around 21 years old, so hopefully we will have eradication of leprosy in your lifetime.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Gene, for your question. Tom, we have bringing on another caller who has a question about the current status of the hospital. So Lynn Pryor is calling in. Lynn, what is your question for Tom?
I was curious about the status of the staff there. Do you have enough doctors and nurses? Are you still short? I remember reading a while ago that where you were located, you were alone. And I was curious if you have, you know, you're in a better staffed area and if there are enough there. And that was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We're in a bit better situation now. We have another doctor with us named Clark McIntosh, and Clark is a pediatrician from the U.S. He's been with us for a couple of years. We have some trained, now we have trained clinical officers. A clinical officer is like a physician assistant. And we are training, we have three medical doctors in training now, three NUBA medical students that are in training now. They're in Kenya and Uganda. The first one will finish his medical school internship in May 2020. So he'll really be the first person from our region of NUBA Mountains who grew up there, was sent out to school, and now will come back. So slowly we're building up the capacity of local people and getting more help. We want to continue on with this idea about training local people. That's kind of the wave of the future. That's how we see it.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, caller. Tom, just as a follow-up question, could you tell us what are some of the current needs you have at the hospital and how are organizations like CMMB and others interfacing with you and supporting that work?
All right, so we have, our needs are fairly basic in terms of just getting money to run the hospital. We're 100% dependent on individual donations to do that. Other huge challenges are logistics, which CMMB has been a huge help, and our logistical capacity, just moving things from, we have to buy our supplies, say, in Kenya, Nairobi, and we have to move those things from Nairobi all the way up to our remote location in New Mountains. So CMMB has been a big helpful partner with that. The other areas with management and governance of the hospital, we're still working that out. CMMB has been a big help in helping put us make a framework of how to do that. These are sort of our main challenges that we're having.
Thank you. We have another question from an online caller. We're going to bring Angela Scheel online. Angela, what is your question for Dr. Tom?
Hello.
Yes.
Mine is
Hi, Angela. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Mine is a sort of base question. I wonder which is a more direct way to contribute to your hospital. I've heard of it in two ways, one from the bishop and the other from CMMB, and I didn't realize that CMMB was a donator. And how do you receive funding, or what is a good place for the funder to fund? And could I ask something else which I haven't asked, which is, are you a surgeon, or are you a surgeon and an internist? Or do you
Thank
have
you, Angela,
to do it all? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Angela.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Angela. I'll start with the second part of your question. So I train in family practice in the U.S., and I learned the surgery and some of the gynecological surgery and a lot of other things sort of on the job when I was in Kenya. I was 7.5 years in Kenya and had the good fortune of kind of being apprenticed to very many excellent surgeons when I was in Kenya. So I learned a lot of those things there when I was in Kenya because when I arrived in Sudan in 2008, pretty much had to do everything from the surgery to the OBGYN to the pediatrics to the adult medicine. So it's a very varied type of practice. I think for donations, I think Rob can help me answer this. I think if you can contribute to CMMB, they can earmark that for Mother Mercy Hospital.
That's right. The Catholic Medical Mission Board does have a restricted fund supporting Mother of Mercy and Dr. Tom's work. So Tom does let us know what his needs are, and we do fundraising for those needs. We have a fund set up for Tom that is exclusively supporting Mother of Mercy Hospital. So I know Tom is looking for a vehicle. We're looking to get him that vehicle. In the past, we've also supplied medicines, helped him locate doctors and staff salaries in the past. So we're happy to continue our collaboration with Tom and Mother of Mercy. Tom, we had a question that somebody wrote in regarding the greatest cultural challenges that you face working in the NUBA Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing would be when we first arrived there in March 2008, we thought people would welcome us with open arms, but there's a lot of mistrust You know, this is a part of the world that's been subjugated by the government in the North for centuries, and has been pretty much closed off from the outside world. So, you know, obviously, when you step into a situation like that, coming from the outside, they're not going to trust you immediately. So that took us some time, and just to understand why they had this mistrust and to work through that. I think that was a big challenge for us in the beginning. An ongoing challenge for us culturally is that the people there, their concept of disease and illness is completely different from ours. We have a very Western way of looking at illness and disease. You know, we have the germ theory and, you know, we have a scientific method for how to figure things out. Whereas the people in the mountains, including a lot of our staff, still look at disease as something which is brought about by malevolent forces. You know, they don't have the concept of germ theory. And to try to work with that, so work that out in a way where you're not making the people feel like you're putting them down or denigrating their beliefs, but also try to work with them to try to see things from your point of view. I think that's a big challenge. You know, I just had this conversation with my wife is from the Numa Mountains, and her, of course, all of her family is there, and we were talking to her sister a couple months ago, asking her, and her sister's about 35 years old, has a couple of small kids, and we're asking her what causes tuberculosis, and really in general what causes any kind of wasting illness. And she said, well, that's caused by a wizard. You know, somebody sends a wizard to you, and the wizard inhabits your body, and that the wizard eats you from the inside, making you get sick, and then to treat that, the medicines at the hospital won't help, but you have to go to the local shaman. Every village has a shaman. You have to go to the shaman. That person will then do some rituals and then free you up from that disease. And, you know, she could not see it any other way, and that unfortunately caused a lot of delays in treatment. So we're always trying to find ways to work with the people and try to get them to kind of see it our way, too, just to give us a chance to treat the patients. That's a big challenge for us.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Tom. Thank you for that answer. Tom, I do want to let you know that we have many people calling in and giving you their best wishes and letting you know that you were in their prayers. Ever Mary Horan, thank you for keeping Tom in your prayers. Tom, I just wanted to follow up. You mentioned TB, and I know we had a challenge this past year around TB and TB medicines, and I think it might be helpful for the call is to hear you describe that challenge and how we sort of maybe met that challenge.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. I think just to address the issue about people praying for us, I want you to know how much I appreciate it and how much we appreciate that in the Numa Mountains. I think people sometimes say we're praying for you, and they say it, and they don't think there's any impact of that prayer. So we felt all the prayers people give us in a very tangible. So I want to let you know how much we appreciate that and ask you to keep up with that that sense of solidarity with us in the mountains, that the power of prayer is something very real for us. So thank you for that. To get to the issue about TB medicines, we had this was back, I think, in June or July. We were almost out of TB drugs, and we had, at the time, we had 100 people on TB treatment. And the problem with TB is you stop treatment for more than a week or two, that person can get a resistant tuberculosis, making it almost impossible to treat them. It makes it much more complicated. And really, we were in a bit of a panic. However, CMV helped us a lot. They were able to, through channels they had in South Sudan, they were able to help us get the TB drugs and get them sent up to us kind of in the nick of time. So that was really a big area of cooperation we have with CMV. And our main challenge really is logistics, just getting things sent up to us to overcome a lot of the not only financial problems, which often is sometimes not the case. The problem is just getting things from point A to point B, getting an airplane, getting sent up to us, getting things up to us during the rainy season when there's really no passable roads. All these things are huge problems, but thanks to partnerships and cooperation with CMB and it's really two other small partners that were able to make things go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Tom. We have another question from a caller coming in. We have Mercy Oziata. I hope I said that right. Mercy, you have a question for Tom.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for all you do. And my question is regarding if you could talk a little bit about some of the more specific healthcare services that you provide. I know you covered a bit of that with some of the previous callers. I had already put my question forth. And also, are you guys doing anything in the way of research to kind of evaluate some of the outcomes and see what are the specific prevalences of some of the diseases in the specific area that you're in?
Yeah, good question. You know, to be honest with you, we're not doing much in the way of research or evaluating outcomes. I mean, a little bit in that respect, but not much. And, you know, if I have to give an excuse, I'd say we've been really in crisis mode. The Civil War there started June 2011, and we've been more or less in crisis mode since then. I would like to move in the direction of doing more evaluation of what we're doing. I think practically that would probably take somebody who's not so engaged in the day-to-day clinical work, maybe somebody who has an interest or a background in epidemiology to come. We are trying to get a relationship with a university where they could send maybe a global health fellow or somebody that could come out and research this stuff. We've got, you know, we've got a big TB population, native population with TB patients. It'd be fantastic to do TB research there because we're the one facility that does TB care. So I think there's a lot of potential for somebody who has an interest in research to come and do clinical research with us. And we hope if there's peace and there's place opens up a bit, that's the direction we'd like to go. So I think something I'd like to do more of in the future.
That's great, Tom. Thank you. We do have another caller who has a question about how you partner with other organizations. So I'm going to bring Marty Morisky on. Marty, did you have a question for Tom?
Yes, I do. Tom, do you do anything with Doctors Without Borders? Do they help you? Do they supply you? Is there any interaction?
A bit in the sense that they've been in and out of NUBA. They had a couple clinics there. Now they're leaving soon. And we're the referral hospital for them, so they send patients up to us. They don't supply us with doctors or supplies. I mean, they are helpful. Sometimes if they have stuff, you know, extra equipment or something or an extra medicine, they'll give us some. But they don't really – our interaction with them is we cooperate in terms of they have a clinic and they'll refer patients to us. Their role is not so much to – they have their own kind of freestanding clinics. And they're kind of set up for crisis mode. They have a couple of clinics now in the mountains, but they're winding operations down, so they're leaving the mountains and leaving the refugee camps that are in the northern part of South Sudan. So they'll be leaving soon. I think it's if I can make a little bit of a plug for Mission Medicine, I think it's good to know that the Christian Health Network, so Mission Hospitals. So CMB is one of them that provides help to mission hospitals. Mission hospitals, both Catholic and Protestant, provide about 30-40% of the health care in East Africa. So it's like in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, South Sudan, probably even Congo. So a good chunk of health care is provided by mission hospitals. And they all do it very much under the radar. And other organizations that provide health care do a fraction of that and yet have quite a big I don't want to sound negative, but they have a bit of a PR machine. So you think that they're the ones providing the bulk of the care, but mission hospitals, both now and traditionally, have provided, you know, going back 1,000 years, have provided a huge chunk of health care. And I think from what I've seen, from my vantage point, being a guy kind of on the ground, in terms of efficiency and impact, you can't beat a mission hospital or mission clinic for the impact they have on the ground and the way they're able to use financial resources to really help people in their need. So,
great, Tom. We are approaching the 12 o'clock hour when our call is supposed to end, but we do have many, many people who have submitted questions, so we are going to stay online a little bit longer to take as many questions as we can. Tom, we do have a question from Kathleen Higgins, who's a pharmacist. Kathleen, do you want to ask Tom your question?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Higgins. You seem to have actually answered my question with earlier answers. My question was because, of course, I have a Western idea of medical care. I work in a hospital. I don't do retail, but when people are sick in the Western world, they'll go to a retail pharmacist, and they'll have prescriptions filled. My question was, how do people get medications? You did mention TB medicines. I know your area has malaria also, and you had said leprosy. But things that are chronic illnesses, are they treated? Something like hypertension, seizure disorders. Thank you, doctor.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. Yes, you know, to get medicines there, there are no pharmacies. So if someone needs is sick, they either come to the hospital or to a clinic that might be in their village in their area. They go to the hospital clinic. We see the patient. We write, you know, for us at the hospital, they have a small card. We just write on the card the prescription. They write their medication that they'll need and how many tablets they get. They go to our little dispensing pharmacy, take the drugs, and go home. And we do treat quite a few chronic illnesses. You know, it's interesting because I think the concept people have of medicine in Africa is that it's a lot of surgical stuff and a lot of just infectious disease. So you come, you have malaria, you have pneumonia, TB, you treat, and you're finished with it. But there's something they're called the NCDs, and WHO has a whole department now. NCDs are non-communicable diseases. And actually, the bulk of these non-communicable diseases are in the developing world. So we have a lot of, not a lot, we have quite a bit of hypertension. We have diabetes. We have a lot of people with epilepsy. We have a lot of cancers. And as the referral hospital, we are responsible for treating all these people, including quite complicated cancer treatments. So to answer your question, especially as pharmacists, we have to get drugs and supplies and treat all these people for these chronic diseases.
Great. Thank you for your question. And Tom, again, thank you for your answer. We do have a follow-up question from a live caller to something you had asked or mentioned earlier. So we're going to bring Charlotte Founds on. Charlotte, you had a question for Tom.
Yes, I heard Dr. Tom mention the fact that he needs a vehicle. I'd like to know what kind he needs, four-wheel drive, a large vehicle, a small vehicle, and how would he get it? Who would ship that to him? Would CMMB take care of that?
Right, so the kind of vehicle we need, we live in an area that doesn't really have roads. It's got a few, you know, for some of the way it's got some dirt road, but a lot of it is like driving it's like driving off road. So we need a four wheel drive. The common one there are Toyotas. What do you call them? These Toyota four wheel drive off road trucks, kind of like a pickup truck or a caravan style. It's got a covered roof. So it's really got to be four wheel drive, a pickup model, or a pickup model's got a covered back. So that's the kind of model we need. And you can usually buy these within East Africa. So I think logistically it would probably be bought in, I would guess, probably in Kenya. And then we'd have to drive it in from Kenya, drive it through Kenya, Uganda, up through South Sudan, up to our location in Nuba Mountains. And that's how we get it, that they would get it to us. So probably purchased in Africa, then driven up to us.
Great. Tom, thank you. And Charlotte, thank you for your follow-up question. We appreciate that. Tom, we have a number of people who have asked about volunteerism, and we're going to bring Morgan Wyland online, who has a question about short-term volunteers. Mm-hmm. Morgan, are you with us? Hi, Morgan, are you on the line? Morgan, you might be muted, so if you want to take your phone off mute, we would love to hear your question. Okay, apparently we don't have Morgan, or there's some difficulty with the phone, but Morgan wanted to know a little bit more about the possibility of short-term volunteerism in Nuba. We also have people who have asked how they can volunteer in general. Mm-hmm. You want to say a little something about your needs there and how
sure.
It could help?
So we have, I think just volunteers in general, CMB has a medical volunteer program. So I think if you're interested in volunteering both in the mountains or anywhere, I would go through the medical volunteer program at CMB. You can access on the website, I imagine, right, Rob? Just go to the CMB website. You can access medical volunteer program through that. You know, for us in Nuba Mountains, we have, I think, probably our biggest need for now. I just spent time with Marcia going over this stuff, but There are times I have to come out of NUBA. So if you're a more experienced doctor, a surgeon, gynecologist, general doc, and you want to come and fill in for me when I come out, that's a tremendous help. So that right there, I've got to come out in April just after Easter through third week of May. So if you're a surgeon or a gynecologist and you want to come and cover for me during that point, we'd love to have you. The second thing is if you want to come more short term but are thinking about doing longer-term medical missions, I would think you could use us more as a resource, as a learning place. You come and you kind of just see what it's like to work in a rural mission hospital, and we're happy to take you and work with you during that time. I wouldn't worry so much, especially if it's your first exposure to this kind of work. Don't worry so much on your initial visit about really contributing a whole lot. We're happy to come and just kind of show you what it's like and just kind of have you be part of our team during that time. So opportunities are there. And I think a good place to start is through the medical volunteer program at CMMB.
Great, Tom. Thank you. We are approaching the time where we do need to wrap up. I do have one sort of final question for Tom, and then we'll give you a few parting words. So, Tom, you're going to be returning home to Nazima, your wife, and to the hospital. What are some of the first things you will be looking to do when you get back into the Nuba Mountains?
Right. So when I get back, I'm getting back on a Wednesday night, I think. So, I'm looking back to getting back to some of my wife's food that we'll have there. We'll enjoy that. Then the next morning, start back on, I'll be thrown in the mix on rounds. Luckily, the people coming for me will still be there. So I'll have to pick up all the ward patients and surgeries and get going. There's not going to be any time to rest and hang out to get back in the swing of things immediately. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting back into the medical work that I've not done now in 3 months. I really miss it, getting back to seeing the people there. So I really, really can't wait to get back.
Well, we're happy that you're returning home. I want to thank all of our callers. Our call is coming to an end now. I want to thank all of our callers for dialing in, providing those wonderful questions for Dr. Tom. I know we have not been able to get to all of the questions that were submitted, and we're sorry about that. We hope to do these calls in the future. We will certainly be answering your questions. We have recorded them. Somebody will be reaching out to provide you the answers to the questions that you have asked. One of the questions people did have, which we did not get to, but I would be happy to answer it now, is how can you support Dr. Tom? And as I mentioned earlier, we do have a fund for Dr. Tom, and we have a fund for all of the work that we do. So if you would like to make a donation to CMMB and support the work that we do around the world, including in the Nuba Mountains, please feel free to visit our website, which is www.cmmb.org/donate. And you can certainly learn more about the great work that we do around the world. Tom, you want to say a few closing words?
Well, I just want to I want to thank everybody who's tuned in today, and most especially thank you for support. I just want you to know that, you know, you see what we do in the field, you say, okay, that's great work, but we can't do anything without support from individuals like you who either make donations or are praying for us or whatever you're doing. We can't treat one patient without your support. So happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. So, everyone here would like to wish everybody on the call a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas to come. We appreciate your calling in. Thank you very much, and we'll be answering those questions that were submitted. God bless.